Isn't that a pretty view, though? That's one of the, that volcano right there, just so you know, devastated a town of about 5,000 people in about, 20 minutes. It completely, it erupted and completely covered the entire village. It was a sad day, but it's a very cool thing. Obviously, we're not getting sound, so this isn't going to work. That's okay. Yeah, I forgot that part was at the end. Don't worry about that. We got too much going on here. It's really cool to like I said, we've been going there for 21 years. And I went one time. I was invited to go do a conference in Managua. And I thought, that's it. I'll never go back. I really didn't sense a real call or heart there. We don't make those decisions always, do we? So, hey, if I could, I do want to thank this young man who came down from Reading, Christopher Gray, who joined us. Thank you for coming down and spending the weekend with us and just imparting and blessing us and thanks. If you haven't met him and you get a chance, please do before you leave today. I'll put that on him. He's a pretty relational guy. So, I have the honor of talking about something that's deeply rooted in my heart. In fact, I haven't had this strong a message since between 95 and about 2003. God gave me a message out of Joel chapter 2 that ended up going viral and around the world. And I didn't have control over that. It was a very weird feeling. Somebody would come into town or they'd talk to me and say, oh, I saw you. You were in wherever. And it could have been China or Japan or Africa or Asia, wherever. And it was like, what? And people were picking this up. And when things go viral, it's nothing we can do about it. One time, because I spent 20 years in music, plus years actually. I had a very fortunate, I made my hundreds and I got out. And I actually had a very great career in music, both in the Christian society of worship, in the world of worship, and also in the world outside of that, in what we would call the secular world, and writing music for different things. And I had no idea where I was going with that. But I was invited to come meet with a producer of CBS Records back in the day when they actually called them recording companies. And this man sat down with me, and we were talking about my future. He said, whatever you do, number one, never burn a bridge, because you never know when you'll be working for that person. That's really good advice. And he said, number two, never worry about getting your materials published or heard, because David got every one of his psalms published, and he never had an agent. And I thought, that's really good. So, today, I get to talk to you about something truly near, dear on my heart called New Era. New Era is what I consider to be probably the most unprecedented moment in our history. So I've had a lot of people ask me, what's New Era? And my first response is, well, it's 11 years. This has been 11 years of study, of revelation, of insight, of prayer, of conversation, of dialogue, sitting around tables, coffee tables, over meals, in back rooms of churches and having discussions in someone's home. It's been an amazing time of 11, almost 12 years of a discovery process of what God is doing on the earth. And I'm going to get to tell you just an ounce of that today. Just maybe even a half an ounce because of what I've been discovering. But about a month and a half ago, he started pulling all of this together into a workable format, if you will. So what is a new era? Well, first of all, does anybody feel transition happening in the world around them? I mean, that's the first key. Everywhere I go, literally hundreds and hundreds of people I've talked to are feeling this transition, not just in the body of Christ, but in the world. It's happening. Christian and pre-Christian are experiencing this shifting. It's unsettling. It's uneasiness. We feel sometimes, you feel this uneasiness. I've felt people feel this frustration in their life. Wondering, what is going on? And have I lost my mind? Am I the only one? And when I say hundreds and hundreds of people, I mean, that's around the world. That's just not here. It's everywhere. Which goes back to the principle of when God rains something on the earth, he rains on the just and the unjust alike. This is not a revival. It's so much deeper than a revival. Revival is seasonal. Revival comes and it goes. Historically, that's how God has moved in revival. And we can see it's a season, right? In seasons, we get to experience. Now, I was originally from the Midwest, so we had very clearly and decisive four seasons. And you knew when fall was coming. If you go online right now and you have friends from the Midwest or the East Coast, you'll start to see the fall pictures. You'll start to see the trees and the change of colors. Here we have a different kind of fall. And I've grown very accustomed to this fall. And we all have seasons. And in that, what's so cool about it is that it never really changes. We just have one season it's drier, and the next year it's a little more rain, and this week, you know, more flowers. We're here. You get what I'm saying? But the season is pretty much the same, and that's revival. Revival looks slightly different, but at the foundation, it's pretty much the same. It's an awakening of the body of Christ. It wakes us up to how big he is and certain aspects of his character. I mean, the Brownsville revival was different than the Toronto Blessing, but they occurred almost in sync with each other. That's seasonal. But what I'm going to talk about is a new era that we're transitioning to that's so much deeper than revival. It's literally shaking our world. And you feel it. I know you do. Some feel it negatively. They go, oh my gosh, what's going on? And, you know, am I going to make it through it? And then you get your Tiggers, and they're all like, hey, I bounce wherever I go. They're all ready to just jump over the wall and run ahead and, you know. And poor Eeyore is back there just go, oh, here we go. But I believe that this is a God-ordained moment. This isn't something man can make up because it's universal and people are feeling it everywhere. That's why I say I believe that we've entered the most unprecedented time in our history. It's very cool. It is very cool. Never, never, ever do I believe we've been here before. In order to move through this season, this age, this transition into a new era, right, we need a few things. In fact, the Lord showed me three things we need. We need education. We need revelation. and we need activation. So I did a little play on word there, if you notice. Each one of those words begin with the three letters of New Era: education, revelation, and activation. Education is basically, bottom line, it's how God is understanding and the knowledge of how God has been working and how that affects us today. It's knowledge. It's not so much revelation. It's it's understanding. Here's history. One of our great people in our history in modern times has been Winston Churchill, and they called him a prophet. But you know what? The man was a studier of history. Incredible. He studied history all the time, and he spoke revelation into the world because of his understanding of the history of our world. And they called him a prophet. He would never call himself that. He just said, I studied history, and I saw it coming. There's a history that we are entering right now. Second, we need revelation. And basically, bottom line, revelation is the insight of God, right? It's understanding, it's knowing what he's doing on the earth, why he's doing on the earth, and his purposes behind it. And then activation is simply our part. Because in this new era, it's all about you. Well, besides Jesus. So I want to highlight two of those areas. I want to highlight the first, education, and I want to highlight activation. I'll touch so slightly on revelation because that would take far too long. Actually, all of them take far too long. Okay, so I'm just going to brag on Ian for a minute. I started working with Ian on this, and I went and I met with him, and I said, Ian, I said, I think I have a few topics on this, maybe three or four. So I go home, and he says, I challenge you. I want you to go home, and I want you to look deeper into that and discover how many topics you actually have learned over the last 11 years of all of this study and revelation from God. And I got home, and I sat down, and the first thing I started outlining, I'm going, oh, my gosh, I've got, there's one, and there's one. And before I knew it, I had 22 on the page, 22 topics within this one topic, New Era. And then I talked to him. I said, I think there's like 22. And he goes, no, I think there's more. So, you know, I said, well, thank you so much. And I I went back, and I sat down, and I went, oh, my gosh, there are. And then Crystal brought up a few more, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I ended up at this point with 43 topics on this subject. I'm like, what am I? How am I? That's how I feel. There's an impossibility for me. And then I tell Ian, I said, listen, Ian, I think I got 43 topics. And he comes back and he says, no, I really think it's closer to 100. I said, well, you better get to work then. Because I don't think it's all about me. But here's what we've done. We've created, we started a website, and we're going to start putting up these topics. And it's very simple. Oh, there it is, www.newera.academy. So go there, sign up, because you'll get updates on videos and stuff like that so that you can get those on the website, on Facebook, different places like that. So I just want to let you know that's available to you. But, okay, so let's look at a little education real quickly. For me, there are, at this point, excuse me, I have to use my hands here. Don't mind the man behind the curtain. Thank you. There are, in this new place, in this transition, I believe that there are two gates that we're dealing with. Okay? There's this gate, which is open and has been closing and is on that path of closing. And then there's a second gate that is here, and it's just on the very edge of beginning to open. This gate is just over 1,700 years old. And it began closing hundreds of years ago. Now, that's God's kingdom. You see, we would look at it and say, why did it take so long? Because he's not in a hurry to move all of us into the same place. I always remember, when I think of that, is the issue of the elements, of communing together. And one of the keys of communion is not being in a hurry and waiting on your brother. And I think God has displays that over time. And this gate, and I call this gate, the hierarchical gate, or church, or the political church. And for 1,700 years, we have lived under a hierarchical realm of Christianity. And by that means that there was a guy at the top who was educated, who had the knowledge of the scriptures, and he was the releaser of that information. Now, for years and years and years, right? I mean, you've seen westerns, cowboy movies and stuff like that, and they'll walk up and they're signing up for something. They say, leave your mark. Because nobody way back, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there was not mass education, right? You had a mark. It was your brand. That was your brand. We call it a brand now. It was your brand, and somebody would see that, and they'd go, oh, that's Bob. Bob from Denver, not Bob from Utah. Right? So they knew that brand. And back then, that's all they had. They didn't have mass education. They had a guy at the top, right, who was educated. He had the books. He had the library. Even the royals back then, even the people who ruled the countries, were guided by the priests on what they were educated in. And what was the role of a king back in that age? Battle. They were trained in strategy, warfare, economics, and who were they trained by? Not themselves. The priest trained them because the priest had the education. The masses, most of us right here, would not have had an education. I don't know. Maybe some of you are from royalty. But if you aren't, you probably at that point didn't have an education. You were hardworking. You had family. You did life. But you weren't educated. It was needed. It was a needed time in the history of the church. We needed that hierarchical church. We needed to hear. Even... how did they learn? I mean, I was so blown away by this thought one day, and I'm pretty old to get this one, but I was thinking about stained glass windows. And we look at stained glass windows now, and we just think, oh, yeah, whatever, you know, they're just so gaudy, and they don't, whatever. Yeah, they're beautiful, and la, 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 but what purpose do they serve? Well, if you don't know how to read or write, what do you think purpose they serve? You could take your children into the sanctuary of that church and say, that's the mother of Jesus, and that's baby Jesus in her arms. And that right there, that's Jesus in the temple talking to the elders. And that right there, that's Jesus on the cross when he was older and he died for our sake. You get it? They didn't have that mass education. Guys, there are doctors. There are people with their doctorates in this room. There are people with masters in this room. Their undergraduate studies, their high school diplomas. There are people maybe with only a few years of education. But listen to this. There is nobody on the face of the earth that has access to internet that can't pick up a phone or whatever and speak into it and have it read back to you. Most countries I go into in Central America are developing world nations. And they have great education. They're not lacking education. It's amazing to think that our world has changed and we don't need this guy at the top anymore. Now that's You go, wait a minute. We don't need a leader? I didn't say that. I said, we don't need a control freak at the top. We don't need somebody who's sitting there telling us, because I'll guarantee you, every one of you or most of you have been online at some point and listened to some really great teaching I know far better than I could ever give you. It started shifting, and this gate started closing. But as this gate closed, God was beginning to open a new gate. And I call this gate the Kingdom Age or the Kingdom Church. And here we are. We have a gate that's closing, and we need to honor the closing of this gate. Do you get me, guys? This is very, very important that we honor the closing of this gate, because its purpose is being fulfilled and finishing on the earth. And we can feel it. Do we not feel something? It's this transition, and we go, whatever that was, I don't fit there anymore. And whatever this is, I don't know what it is, but I like it. I can't explain it, but I know I don't fit there anymore. That gate is closing. And you know what? By the tens of millions in Christianity in our country today. That's okay. We honor the closing of that gate, but there's a new gate opening. There's a kingdom gate that is opening, a kingdom age. And within that, here we are right in the middle. Some, the Tiggers of the world, have jumped off the old gate and are kind of like, I always think it like Bob, you know, like, what about Bob? We're sailing. Tied to the mast, looking ahead, don't have any clue where they're going. But they jump. They've already jumped. And they know they're on that gate. They're generally pioneers. And then there's people over here who know they don't fit anymore on this gate, but they don't know how to get over here. And then there's people who are trying to jump, but they're not sure how to jump. We're in that transitional moment in the body of Christ. That's why I say it's unprecedented. And guys, this is not just a few people that I've talked to. This is literally hundreds and hundreds of people around the world. This is all different segments of our society, of Christianity, but beyond Christianity. When it rains on the just, when it rains on the earth, it rains on the just and the unjust alike, correct? That's what the Lord says. So we don't have an option. When he pours out something like this, we all feel it. There's literally a shaking going on, even in the earth. And I believe the earth feels it as much as we feel it. It's a pretty intense moment in time in my book. Anybody else sensing that feeling? So then the Lord started saying, what's on this gate in the beginning seasons of this opening gate that are so important? And I asked him for a scripture, and this was probably 7-8 years ago in this process, and he gave me Ephesians 4:11-13, and I want to read that to you out of the Passion Translation. It's not the only, I'm not saying it's the best, I'm just suggesting it's one. And it says, and he appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. And I read 13 because it's vital to this passage. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man, with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. So I want to do a short word study. I want to just do a real quick word study on four words. The words are equipping, works, ministry, and building up. Real quick. So the word equipping is this Greek word called katharismos. I should get you to say it. And it basically means the perfecting, the equipping, the nurturing, the preparing. So let's go back to those five gifts just real quick. I don't care, personally, if you think they're governmental or not. If they're just gifts that have a specific calling or if they're governmental in the body of Christ. For me, I don't care one way or another. Because what it says is, I don't know what it says about that. I'm not a great theologian, but I know it says one thing. It's their calling. The purpose of those five is to do what? Is to nurture and prepare the holy believer to do what? Their own works of service. What are works? Ergon is the word in Greek, and it means this. Works. It means deeds, action. It's a task that you have before you. Ministry, the word ministry, is simply the work of service that you have. That's all it is. It's the work of service. Here's the switch. Here's the change. Here's what we're transitioning to from what God has been speaking to me. Is for all these years saying, you know what's happening? The body doesn't need this control freak at the top, excuse me, but it doesn't need that control freak at the top telling us exactly what to do, how to do it, and guiding our every step. What we need is leaders, fivefold leaders, who will equip us so you can walk out this door and do what you're called to do. I love that. I love it, guys. Yeah. I love it because that's the call of those five. Five. It's so that you can take up your full identity in Christ. Not just the general call. Not just the general identity. We all are sons and daughters of Christ. That's a general identity. We all carry that. But you specifically have an identity in God that is for your work of service. Some of those will be in the body of Christ, right? Some will be. But most will not. Most are going to be outside the body of Christ, working, fulfilling, being you, the desires of your heart. Psalms 37:4. That's another one, by the way, another topic you'll get to hear about. Yeah, the desire of your heart getting expressed in the world. We got to have ourselves out there in the circles, in the places of influence. And that means your neighbors, your workmates, your schoolmates, the guy at wherever. That's what I love about this. In 1979, the Lord told me there was going to be a mass move of God on the earth, and it would be one to one to one to one to one to one. And Paul Kane later spoke of it and said it's a faceless generation. Doesn't mean we don't have leaders. We have leaders. I'm not despising the leaders. I want the leaders. I just don't need this guy up here telling me every day. I have enough information. What I need is be equipped to get out there and do the stuff that God's put on my heart. And I'm telling you, you got all the stuff you need. And here's the deal. You're it. Anybody ever play tag as a kid? I get this great picture of Daddy reaching down going, tag, you're it. And I love it. I love it. Don't you love it? Because it's us that get to take the kingdom of God into somebody's life. You are the answer to 1 billion people meeting, encountering, and responding to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wow. throw that last slide up just so they have it again. I just want you to know that if you want that, you can go find the newera.academy, www thing, you know, all that jazz. And we really do. Sign up. There's a place to sign up so you get updates on the videos and different stuff that are coming out. And they will be starting to come out on a regular basis. I'm so... 11 years, guys. 11 years of personal frustration. 11 years of having... getting this topic dropped into my spirit and learning all I can about it and then not being able to do much with it. And then he drops another one, and it's been 11 very frustrating years. I think, oh, I'm going to go for that. That's it. I got it. And he's going, no. Just wait. I had to come to Oxnard. I mean, we had to leave Santa Barbara. What's with that? We left Santa Barbara to come to Oxnard to live in this lovely valley. And then he says, I'm going to put it all together. And you get to start releasing it right here with our family. And I just want to say, if this rings true with you guys, if this is a part of, some might be saying, Byron, I just feel frustration. That's all I felt. I feel something. I feel the world just coming in around me. Okay. Michael had a word on that today. You get to experience grace at a new level. Hey, Kyle, if you want to come back up, you can. I have hit on the very, I told somebody earlier, I said, this has, we were talking out front, and I said, yeah, this stuff has been so ongoing. I think I have like one nerve left. So don't touch the last nerve, all right? And God just opened it up. So here's what I want to do. Crystal, do you have anything? Okay. Sam? You got something? Dave, do you have something? Okay. All right. Okay. Just checking in. Okay. I need you to breathe now just a little bit. Because that was like, I just took a shovel and dumped a whole lot, just, and that's an ounce worth. I tried to figure out how I was going to take 43 topics and put it in 25 minutes. Because my brain is wanting just to go off on all these different things. But I think the intro of this is just, it's an educational moment to say what you're experiencing in this transition is okay. It's a part of what the body of Christ is going through and the world is going through. Now, I'm not talking politically here, but we have a very different president for the last few years. Whether you like him or not, again, I don't really care. That's not my business. But he's very different nonetheless. And there's a whole lot of shaking going on there, and that's just not in our country. We have to think universally. This is a universal thing on the earth. So I don't want to make a call. I think Sam might have something, but I would love to know, but I'm not going to ask. I'm going to be kind. I think many of you are looking at me going, I feel it. I know there's something transitioning in our world. And I just want to tell you, we are headed. Have you ever heard the statement, you were made for this day? Guys, we were made for this transition. Do you realize that we have entered into a billion people who are hungry for spirituality? And we get to be part of that answer. Come on. Anyway.
Wow. A new era. A gate is closing. It's about close, and a new gate is opening. And what I have is the Lord has given you a vision. And it's time for the vision of the church to cultivate your vision. And I just want to bless what the Lord is doing in your life. And as you go home, the Bible talks about dreams and visions. And I believe that there's many in this room that God's given a vision, a holy calling for your life. And right now, as we close the service, if some of you have put that vision to the side, a dream he's given you, of something he's put in your heart to do, if you've been discouraged by it, or if you've put it to the side, or if you've doubted it, I just want to encourage you right now to throw that doubt away and pick that vision back up. Pick up that thing, that one thing that God's calling you to, that holy calling. It's time for the nameless, faceless generation to arise. That was Paul Kane's prophecy, that this billion soul harvest, it wouldn't be this the evangelist, this guy or that guy, that'll be known. In fact, people will not know who it was. Or who it is that's causing this move of God, this fire of God, with hundreds of thousands and millions getting saved. They won't know who actually did it. They won't be able to target one person, because God is raising up his army of leaders. This nameless, faceless generation will be the revivalist for the billion soul harvest. And our job here is to release you into that, to release you. So it's time. It's time to dream again. It's time to pick up that vision that God's given you. You're not too old. It's not too late. There's no accident. You're here in this place. No matter how young you are or old you are, God has a great purpose for such a time as this. So let's just declare that. I just want to declare that. Let's stand as we close our time. We're going to transition into ministry time in a moment, but I want us to close this time and receive what the prophet has given us. Ponder this transition into a new era. Right now, all over this room, Father, we say yes. We say yes to the vision you've given me. It's now my time. It's not about me, it's about you and me. Because you said, I am the light of the world. So I'm going to walk in that with boldness and confidence. Pick up that dream. Pick up that vision. See, the enemy's trying to keep some of you down by distracting you from your calling in life. But you have stepped into a new era. The way that you continue to grow in it is to pick that vision up, pick those dreams up, and watch what God works. Let's sing this song as a prayer.
All you have given me, Jesus, bring you life.
vision, a dream. They've shared, oh my God, this would be such a good idea if only this. God is trying to get your attention. There's somebody in this room that's going to write a book that is going to turn the tide on this whole gender identity thing. Somebody in this room that has that idea. The Lord is showing me because He wants to encourage whoever that is. This whole thing in the education system that is trying to pervert our kids of their malehood or their femalehood. And somebody here has a revelation of God, a vision, and I just want to bless what He's doing in your life. That thought that He has is going to turn into a mighty ministry. A ministry that's going to go into the school systems. It's going to rock this world. I bless what God's doing. I know there's people here that are going to go to this nation to help us about our freedoms. Thank you, Lord. Somebody has an invention that's going to, that's going to help with a cure. Whew. And I just want to bless what God's doing. I just see a cure. I see a cure for a major disease. And God, diabetes, maybe. I see the word diabetes. And if that's you, God has given you something, but it's going to grow into something greater because the kingdom is advancing. And everyone that you meet is going to get saved. Thank you, Lord. I see records being made. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see new accounting practices. Thank you, Lord. That will transform. Thank you, Lord. And I keep seeing the education space. There are many here that God is calling you into that space. Thank you, Lord. I see somebody here that's going to be ministering in the area of depression. God is giving you a dream. God's giving you a vision. It's time to walk in those dreams and visions. It's time to pick them up and to be released, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's your time. It's not the time for the pastor. It's your time. You are that nameless, faceless generation that is here. You are the ones that will reach the billion souls from this place to the other ends of the earth. It's your time. You are the harvest workers. And you will pick a mighty harvest, everyone in this room. It's your time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's given you a dream. He's given you a vision. The gate that is closing, you are walking in. You're on this new gate that is opening. So step into the vision He's giving you, the dream. What He's called you to is not impossible. That's why you're here. What has He called you? What dream has He given you? What vision has He given you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have the ministry team come forward. Thank you, Lord. If you have a child under 5, now's the time to go pick him or her up. The rest of the kids will be brought in. We're going to transition now at the end of this part of our service into ministry time. Thank you, Lord. Anybody have a word? A word of knowledge?
Word. You know, when Byron was sharing with us, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus brought what is known as the Beatitudes. And when we read that, it might seem very different than how we think. But Jesus was saying, this is the way it is. This is the way it is in heaven. And the word that Byron brought, Byron and Crystal, they have seen into heaven probably more than anyone I've ever met. They have seen what is happening in heaven. It's different than what's happening here on earth. And they're trying to bring that down to us. And that's where maybe in your heart, there was something part of you that said, yes, I believe that. But in your mind, there was resistance. And that's because maybe you've not been trained or taught in the things of God through your school or your education or the things that you read. But I would challenge you to release yourself unto the Lord and receive what God has. Receive what God says. This is the way it really is. This is the way that it really works. And see what God will do in your life. Because as it said, the fivefold ministries, Ephesians 4:11, is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And He's called all of us to work of ministry. And He has given us a fivefold ministry to prepare us for that. So I would challenge you to step out and understand what God is doing and be part of it. Thank you.
Awesome. Richard, will you come over here too? Richard Bogart, I'd love you to be here. These folks, I just believe right now, are going to prophesy over anybody that comes forward. The spirit of prophecy is in the room. And if you come forward, I believe God has a word for you through these leaders. I also see somebody with a growing injury that needs a healing. So if that's you, come forward.
If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging your heart, that's because he's waiting for you to say yes.
Amen.
I had a vision when we were in the prayer room, and it was like a chain necklace, you know, the interlocking chain. And I saw my family, and I saw how God is restoring families right now. And I saw what the calling was on my life, and I saw the links, and as the links were going, there was a hand on one end and a hand on the other, like the old gate and the new gate, and they were pulling both directions. And I saw the pastoral calling passed down from me to my wife to my son to my daughter, and it was transitioning. And as this was getting stronger, this hand was ready to release it. And I feel the Holy Spirit saying to some of you, honor what your parents have been through, honor what ministers have come in your life before, but don't lose what they've deposited in your soul, because you're going to need it when you get over to this side. Amen? Some of you just have to say yes. God is saying he wants to do things in your life. Just say yes. Amen?
Also, if God is showing you a dream or a vision, I just want to encourage you to come forward and let these ministers release that over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I just want to encourage you that what my son Michael had seen with the red ribbon is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And what the Word of God says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. The thing that is prophesied, the thing that God, the gift that God has for you, you receive that very thing. And the message today is tagged. You're it. You don't, if you think that you're disqualified from what God is calling you to, that ribbon was cast out to you. And he said, when you lifted up your hands, this is that moment again where you lift up your hands and surrender. And you surrender to the thing God has called you to, because that red ribbon represents the blood of Jesus, the grace of God, the grace of God, because you're responding to what God has called you to. So there's grace for the very thing that he's placed in your hand.
This is it's a Mark 16 moment. Because remember, it said, to those who believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. This is a calling for you to know that God uses everybody. Amen.